things, the author says, he has learned to be content. And I think that is a big part of living a thankful life. And now would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today I'd like to tell you about my elementary school principal, Clifford Pratt. He was this tall, stocky built guy. He had a very stern expression on his face. He had a loud voice, a swarthy complexion, and a wooden paddle hanging on the wall of his office. I spent 7 years, kindergarten through sixth grade, being absolutely frozen in my boots, terrified of this man. Amongst the kids, he had received almost a mythic-sized reputation. When I was maybe first or second grade, I heard a story that he even ate little kids. Kids would get sent to his office and just never come back. So needless to say, I never, ever, ever wanted to get sent to the principal's office. I never wanted to talk to Mr. Pratt. I didn't even want to make eye contact with the man. I did everything I could for 7 years to just not be noticed by him at all. But can I tell you what I learned about him later? Mr. Pratt retired when I was in high school, and I hadn't seen him for years until my mom and I went shopping for a Christmas tree one year. And there he was at the tree lot, selling Christmas trees and having an absolutely marvelous time. He had a grin on his face, the likes of which I had never seen before, or maybe I just never noticed before. He loved seeing his old students come through, and he would ask how we were doing and what sorts of things we were involved in. And I came to look forward to seeing him each and every year at the Christmas tree lot. And then my senior year, a scholarship was formed in his name. And you had to have been a student of his through all of your elementary years to be eligible for that. And I was the very first recipient of the Clifford Pratt Scholarship. And I will never, ever forget the absolutely gigantic bear hug he wrapped me in on awards night. My image of Mr. Pratt had definitely changed. I now saw a loving, gentle, kind man rather than the fearsome tyrant that I had thought him to be. But it wasn't until he passed away just a couple months ago that I really learned who he was and what he was all about. In 1943, he enlisted in the Army. Of course, at that time, he went on to serve in World War II. He volunteered for paratrooper training with the 82nd Airborne, the All-Americans. He saw action as an infantry rifleman, and he earned 3 battle stars. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was part of the occupation force in Berlin until 1945. And he would eventually rise to be a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. After the war, he went back to college, but he was called back into active duty during the Korean War. And he served at Strategic Air Command from then until the end of the Vietnam War. He served this nation proudly for 26 years. And then he went on to teach and eventually to be an administrator. He was a true hero, not just in his service to his country, but in his service to his school, to his staff, and to his students. You see, what I didn't know as a young child was how much Mr. Pratt would advocate for his students. I didn't know until later how he would work to make our school one of the top elementary schools in the state. I didn't know how he ensured that the teachers were supported and equipped to try new things to better serve the students. I never realized what an innovative educator he was. All I saw was a big, scary man. And I'm so thankful that I got to be a part of his school. I only wish that I had come to really appreciate him much, much sooner. But you know, I wonder, how many of us see God the way I saw Mr. Pratt when I was little? Do we simply see a big, scary God who is looking to punish us and to rule over us with an iron fist? Are we scared to get too close to God for fear that we won't be good enough, that we will disappoint, that we will be judged, or worse, that we will anger a vengeful God? If that's how we see God, if that is how we understand God, then we will never truly appreciate God, because we're too busy being scared. But as I look at the whole of Scripture, I do not see an angry, vengeful God. And I know people say all the time, well, the Old Testament God is scary and mean and vengeful. It's the New Testament God that I like. But it's the same God. So let's look at that Old Testament vengeful God for a minute. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created, right? God creates the world. He creates the animals. He creates man and woman, and he places them in this beautiful garden where they have everything that they need. There is water. There is food. There is shade. And best of all, there is relationship with God. The man and the woman and God, they walk together. They talk together. And in return for all of this, all that God has given them, for the bounty that surrounds them, God simply asks one thing. Just leave that one tree alone. Anything else is yours. Just leave that one. But we just couldn't resist. Temptation overtook humanity and sin happened. And what did God do then? Did an omniscient God who knows all, who sees all, did he come in and just drop the hammer on those sinful, cowardly creatures who were so full of shame at what they had done that they were now hiding from God? Did God come in and just simply rip the place apart? No. God came looking for them, calling them by name. God provided coverings for them, so in their shame and their embarrassment, they could be more comfortable. God continued to be in relationship with them. God didn't abandon them or crush them. God came searching for them. God constantly pursues us. God forever loves us and seeks to redeem each and every one of us. Now, were there consequences? Of course there were consequences. But the love didn't change. Our God has given us everything, from breathing the breath of life into us to giving us Jesus, God made flesh, to teach us the way, to die our death and to rise so that we too might live. Everything that we are, everything that we have, every good thing ever has come from God. And so I wonder, do we live lives that show gratitude for that? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Good, bad, neutral. When you feel good, when you don't feel good. On days when everything goes right and on days when absolutely nothing goes right. No matter what, we should be giving thanks to God. Now, sometimes I read that verse and I go, yeah, right. Today there's just nothing to give thanks for. But that's just not true. It's easy to get into that mindset, but it is not true, because even on our worst days, we should be able to find something to be grateful for. When our joints ache from age or injury, we should give thanks that our body has so faithfully served us for so many years. Has there been a diagnosis that is just earth-shattering? Well, we can give thanks for the wisdom of so many that have brought us modern treatments and medicines. Is a relationship broken? We can give thanks that we have known love in our lives. Are there days when your job just stinks? We can give thanks that we have the ability and the opportunity to provide for ourselves and our families. It's not that we give thanks to God for the awful things, for evil and for pain and suffering. Those things are not from God. Those things are a result of sin, and they are from the enemy. They are not from God. God is the source of all love and peace and goodness. But even in those terrible times, there are still things in our lives to be thankful for. It is a matter of perspective. Remember that our verse said, all is possible through Christ. We can learn through our bad times. We can grow through the trials that we face. God can bring good even out of the worst that we face. For that, we should be thankful. And when we can begin to see that God is, in fact, the source of every good thing that has ever been, well, then it's much easier to live a life of gratitude. We can give thanks for all the good that we have experienced from God over the years. John Wesley wrote in The Character of a Methodist that from God, a Methodist, a Christian, cheerfully receives all, saying, good is the will of the Lord. And whether God gives or takes away, we should equally bless the name of God. A Methodist, a disciple of any sort, should cheerfully receive whatever comes our way. Now, I know that's easier said than done. Some things I don't want to bless. I get it. So how can we cheerfully receive whatever comes? How do we cheerfully receive devastating events in our lives or in our world? By holding fast to the knowledge that God is good. That God wants nothing but good for us. And that God can bring good from any circumstance. On his deathbed, John Wesley wrote, best of all, God is with us. God is with us. On the good days, on the bad days, no matter what may come, no matter what may happen, God is with us. God's love is with us. God's Spirit is with us, in us, and around us. And no matter what barbs, what pitfalls, what crises may come our way, there is nothing on earth, in heaven, or from hell that can separate us from God's love. And that is something to be truly thankful for. Amen.